Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. It is Monday morning, inshallah Aziz. In our program lineup this morning, first up we look at our segment on learning about Africa, and inshallah we will look a bit more detailed with a bit more detail into the country of Angola. First we discussed Algeria. Last week we just touched a little bit about Angola, and today we go a bit more into detail concerning Angola. And then, inshallah, Aziz, at 11:30, we will be speaking about parenting, and the topic that we're going to look at is house rules, maintaining discipline, and making sure that your house can be transformed from a chaotic family life into a haven of peace and fulfillment. And we'll be speaking about house rules, inshallah, and how to implement them, how to make sure they work, and how to get your children to buy in to them as well. So that's our program lineup for this morning. The first part is learning about Africa, and speaking about Angola. And when we speak about the country of Angola, the official name of this country is República de Angola. And it's located in the southern hemisphere in Africa. On the one side it is Namibia, the other side on the east is Zambia, towards the north is Congo and Zaire. And the capital of Angola is Luanda. President is José Eduardo dos Santos. He's the president. The population of Angola is small compared to South Africa, 12 million people, and the official languages are Portuguese and the Bantu language. The currency of Angola is the Kwanza. What do they export? Mainly oil, diamonds, minerals, coffee, fish, timber, cotton, natural products, and the country of Angola is a beautiful country with great potential. It's at a turning point in its history. It was under the Portuguese Empire. Portugal abruptly decided to withdraw from Angola in 1975. They went through decades of civil war. Then in 1994, the United Nations got involved, and they signed a peace treaty known as the Lusaka Protocol. And Angola has been called potentially one of Africa's wealthiest countries, and it is likely a future leader of Southern African development. But now that peace has come so close, Angola is an expectant nation. They want peace, they want to celebrate their spirit, and they're ready to realize their full potential. 70% of Angolans, this is the sad part about Angola, is that 70% of the Angolans live with less than $1 per month. Less than $1 per month. And what is that? $1 at the moment is 13 rands, around that price, 12 rands and something. And less than $1 per month. A third of the population has been displaced, and they face serious issues with HIV, AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, malnutrition. Those are some of the major problems of public health. And the education system does exclude, that means they don't cater for more than 1 million children. So more than 1 million children are without proper public education. So it's one of the worst indicators of human development in the world, even though it is one of the major oil producers in Africa and one of the greatest diamond exporters. If we look at demographics of Angola, if you look at the country, it covers an enormous area. It runs from the desert areas of the south to the jungles of the thickly vegetated north. Mountains rise from the coast, and that levels to a plateau that makes up much of the country. And we find the Namib Desert, a desert that is on the far south, and the enclave of Cabinda is bordered by the Democratic Republic of Congo, and DRC or Congo is also part of Angola. The climate is tropical, and humid in the north, subtropical, lower rainfall in the south, and the temperature is quite moderate in Angola. Looking at the economy of Angola, we spoke a little bit about it, and it includes oil, coffee, and diamonds as the natural resources of Angola. There's a large oil deposit off the coast that was discovered, and that's become the center of Angola's foreign business interests. Angola and the United States have economic relations mainly in the domain of oil exploration. Angolan oil has become a resource of strategic importance to the United States. And then you find countries, Gulf Oil, Sonangol, Angolan State Oil Produce, and they run the oil industry. Then the electrical infrastructure, Luanda, the city is powered by the Kambambe Dam on the Kwanza River. And, Angolan cash and they do contribute to this project, but they need support from the international community. If you look at the history of Angola, in 1576, Angola was founded by the Portuguese and then developed into the governmental center of the colony in 1627. And slaves from Angola were taken to Brazil. Angola became independent in November 1975, after almost 500 years of Portuguese rule. And then after the civil war, which continued in Angola, there were many peace accords brokered, and they were not held. And about 335,000 Portuguese who had settled in Angola left the territory, and this created a big void. Then you find, in terms of tourism, Angola has beauty as a country. They have certain things that you can learn from and you can explore and enjoy. The area surrounding the Okavango, Kwando, and Zambezi rivers has been described as the Eden of Africa, like a Jannah on earth. Since then, has changed. Much has changed in the sense that the area has been carved up into five different countries and experienced the horrors of war, and little has changed in the sense that hardly any development has taken place. The border is often just a line drawn on a map, and people trek across borders at will. There's nothing serious about the borders there. You have the thirst land of the Kalahari Desert, then you have the Okavango Swamps, the tropical paradise around the world famous Victoria Falls, large sections of this area haven't even been fully explored. More than 500 species of birds have been listed in the area. You find the sable antelope, the roan antelope, elephant, buffalo, hippos, crocodile, that you find in abundance in Angola. So this is country of Angola, interesting country to see, and I think one of the upcoming countries of Africa. But what we found in the news of recent is that there's been huge floods in Angola since lots of rain since the starting of January, and these floods have killed about 62 people, 35 of them children. And in some areas of Luanda, the flood waters have reached heights of 3 meters. Many homes have been destroyed, and rescue teams are still searching for missing people. And in the capital, Luanda, at least one person died last week, and hundreds of people left homeless after 137 houses were destroyed by the rains. So that's a challenge that the people of Angola are facing currently, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them and protect them and grant them ease, and especially in the road to recovery as a country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from further strife and grant them ease and success. If you are a tourist, if you're looking for things to really see in Angola, there's some interesting things in terms of sightseeing, in terms of natural structures and things that you can see there. You know, there's lots of rain, but then you have the northern region of Angola, unexplored coasts and beaches, and everything to surprise the visitor. But you have to be careful of the rains, and there's nothing that you can really predict the rains in the area with. There's a Calendula Falls that's located in Malanje area. Then there's a coastal fort, there's the Ilya beaches, and there's the Kisama National Park, and then you have the Palmerinas, and that's the magnificent scenery of Palmerinas, which is a long deserted beach approximately 45 kilometers south of Luanda. But you can't really swim in the water there, and then you can go for fishing in Santiago Beach, which is north of Luanda. So that's a few of the things that you can do in Angola. And inshallah, Aziz, what we're going to do is in our list of African countries, we've covered Algeria and Angola. Next week, we're going to look at Benin. Look at Benin, interesting country as well, inshallah, Aziz. So that's going to be coming up next week in our program. Inshallah. It's 24 minutes after 11. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. Those people with children know how it is in maintaining the control and the rules of the home. Now, you always have issues when it comes to making sure that your children respect the house rules and respect the order and the system of the home, meal times, respect in the home, type of language they use at the home, the amount of time they are allowed to use their gadgets, etc. But we are going to, inshallah, Aziz, be speaking to you about the issue of house rules. Now, when we speak about the first thing, which is the rule part of it, as soon as we say the word rules, people go on to the defensive to say that now we are implementing rules, and rules are something difficult, and it's difficult for us to maintain them. But it is with rules that we are able to maintain our system and order in our lives. And if it wasn't for rules, then there wouldn't be any system and order in our lives at all, and people would just be following whims and fancies and desires, and there wouldn't be any values and morals left in the world. And so that is why it is necessary to maintain rules. Now, when we speak about adults and rules, you will see that many adults would find it difficult to actually acknowledge that they enjoy living by the rules. They don't really enjoy living by the rules, and rules are restrictive. It might sound that putting some house rules in place for your children could make your, you know, it could be a little bit difficult, and it could be a challenge. But now we must understand that implementing house rules can make your house environment more relaxing, and the children know exactly what is expected of them, and you won't have any longer one child saying that this is not fair, and one child saying to the mother, no, dad lets us do this, but you're not allowing us to do that, and why is that child allowed to do it while we were stopped from doing it? And the list goes on, and there's always discrepancies and challenges. Now, house rules can be general. For example, no shouting, no swearing. But the important part is that everyone in the house is to agree to stick to the rules. And so the first aspect when it comes to setting house rules is to sit down with the family and discuss the rules that you want to implement in the house. And they will all come to an agreement for the house rules that you discuss with them. For example, shoes have to be placed neatly in a specific place. Dirty clothes or used clothes have to be put into the washing hamper, into the washing basket. School bags have to be put into their respective places. Juzdans and kurtas after madrasa have to be hung or put into their place. When you are choosing clothes, whatever you are not using has to be packed into the cupboards by yourself. Dishes need to be lifted from the table and placed into the basin. When it comes to greeting, when you enter the house, the rule is that everyone must greet, make salam properly, loud and clear. It's one of the important and basic rules. Rules as far as it goes with keeping the bathroom clean, rules with the amount of time you're allowed to use the shower. Children, if they are not checked, especially the teens, then they go into very, very long showers. And the important thing is that everyone must agree to stick to those rules. Put them forward and let your children help you to decide on the rules. And there may be certain rules which they say, no, please don't put this in. It's too difficult for us to maintain. There may be certain rules that they could remind you of as well. And, you have sometimes individual discipline problems with certain specific children that you can deal with separately. But the general rules of the home have to be the same and has to be agreed upon by all of the children. And this, putting rules and parameters into place, borders and boundaries into place, gives the children a sense of control, gives them children a sense of foundation and basic respect. And inshallah, it will bring them up as respecting adults as well. So the first thing that you can do is decide on 10 realistic rules which you and your child agree you can stick to. That's the important part. That don't keep the number of rules too many. Keep them simple. Keep them few. Decide on 10. 10 is an easy round number that you can look at and sit down with your child and let your child also decide on it and agree to it and, let them be a part of deciding on those rules. And then you put those rules up and you write them out, stick them on your fridge, stick them on a central place. Let everyone see the rules. If there's younger children, let, add some pictures or symbols or something so that they can understand the rules better as well. And if you are able to write your expectations with the rule, but in a positive way, then do that, because that will go a longer way in winning your kids over. And for example, everyone must speak politely instead of no swearing. Put toys in the box at the end of the day, at the end of playtime, instead of don't make a mess. And tell them what to do instead of telling them what not to do. And that's what you how you write the rules out. If you can print it out, it will be all the better. If you have a whiteboard, if you have a central area in a kitchen or a central place where everybody can see the rules, everybody can read them and be in front of them, this would go a long way in making them conscious of the rules. And the whole important part is for them to remain conscious all of the time. And then also reminding them, when you're setting the rules, reminding them that, listen, mommy or dad is not going to be there all of the time to make sure that you are fulfilling the rules. This fulfilling and following the rules is a team effort, and we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and this is a promise that you are making to your mom and dad. When you make a promise, we are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill those promises, and so you need to make sure that you live up to this promise that you're making, that you are going to follow these rules that we are setting out. That's the important thing when it comes to the period of setting the rules and placing the rules up. They must agree and they must promise to live up to those rules. That's the important aspect there. And then once you have placed the rules up on the board, now you have to refer to these rules when you're going about your daily routine, and when your children follow the rules and they've been obeying the rules, then praise them. Praise them and encourage them. Say something encouraging. MashaAllah, I see that you've been putting your washing into the washing bin regularly. Sometimes they've done something good. Just praise them for the good that they have done. And you'll find that by praise, the children will feel more encouraged to follow the rules. Then the important aspect is be consistent. Be consistent. And if you change the rules, then your children may feel cheated. And then once they feel cheated, then they're going to be tempted to break the rules. So be consistent when it comes to implementing the rules. And if any one of the children are breaking the rules, then make sure that they are all equally, respecting the rules, and they are all equally implemented and all equally punished also if they are not fulfilling the rules, not living up to the rules. And then if a rule is broken, remember that you have to remind your child what the rule is. Tell them that, listen, this is no swearing, or this is one of the house rules, you haven't done that. And consider some form of discipline, not too heavy, not too strict, but something that will remind the child always to fulfill the rules. That's as far as it goes with house rules. What we're going to do now is going to take a short break. If anyone has any questions concerning this, you're most welcome to SMS on 073-173-8461. If you've received an SMS from a sister regarding a different issue concerning parenting, which we will discuss afterwards, inshallah al-Aziz. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam. Listener asks us to speak about the relationship between grandmother and grandchildren. Well, the issue is with regards to the upbringing of the grandchildren, and with regards to the respect, or with regards to who the grandchildren are required to respect, and the balance between how, for example, you have the parents, you have the mother and father in the home, and you have the children there. And now the grandchildren have to be nurtured, they have to be taught, they have to be directed and guided to respect both sets of grandparents, and to equally respect both sets of grandparents. There should not be a disparity or discrepancy, difference in respecting either set of grandparents. For example, the child shouldn't be told that this grandparent you show respect to and you treat them nicely, and the children are scolded if they make a mistake or don't show respect, and the other set of grandparents, the children are given free rein to do whatever they like. So there should not be that type of unfairness in terms of the upbringing of children. There should be fairness, and there should be respect for all grandparents. And it's the responsibility of the parents to teach that respect of grandparents. This is an important thing, and one of the basic aspects of our life is that children learn by example. That when we teaching our children good behavior, then they are going to learn more from the way that we behave compared to what we actually tell them to do. What we need to do is to set a good example of respect for our parents, respect for our in-laws as well. The husband needs to respect his parents, needs to respect his in-laws. The wife needs to respect her parents, respect her in-laws as well. Don't speak bad about them. when they are not present, and show respect to them in all conditions and situations, and you'll find then the children would show that same respect. And when there is discrepancy, then the children also pick that up, and they show that discrepancy. So we need to show respect to our parents, our in-laws as well, and our children will definitely pick up from there, inshallah, Aziz. It brings us to the end of our program today. Shukran Jazilan for listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam, and shukran to my studio operator, Brother Osama, this morning from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.